Hey, Todd, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this emergency bonus episode of the A1 Auto Body Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Todd from Island Concepts. He was on a previous episode. Island Concepts is a auto body supplier in Hawaii, and Todd reached out to me probably like a week or two ago, talking about how it's been over 3 months now that they have been able to get proper PPE supplies for painting from 3M. They have not heard anything from 3M. It's not looking good. I'm going to let Todd take over and say what he needs to say. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing? I appreciate you getting me on. There's been a lot of situations that have developed recently about, you know, everybody trying to acquire, getting respirators, replacement filters, vapor cartridges, as well as their P100, as well as the elusive N95 masks. From our standpoint is that just before February, you know, it seemed like we had a good rapport going with 3M, you know, our shipments are coming in steady, and then the pandemic happened, right? And then since then, it's just fallen off from the wayside. And just trying to get information has been really hard for us over here. Like I said, you know, we've got in probably one case of replacement filters, which we had basically we switched over to the industrial side, and we use it's a 60921, and it has a P100 filter that's already attached to the vapor cartridge, so it's all one unit. Yep. Some guys they like to have in the pre-filter so they can change it out depending on how much they're spraying or what they're doing. But for us, we just found that it's just easier that it's all in one unit, and we don't have to worry about the guys. If they drop it, it breaks, they can just replace the whole thing.
Now you have to tape it back together.
yeah, right, because they used to have the outer ring, the pre-filter, and then it goes to the vapor cartridge, right? This is all one unit. It's a little bit more durable, and it has a little bit more protection. Instead of a 95, it's a P100. And the thing is, lately within the last probably 3 weeks is that we've just noticed that a lot of other people are starting to run out of materials, you know, their vapor cartridges, their masks, anything that, you know, to supply the shops with PPE. Like I said, it was probably been more than almost 8 weeks ago, six to eight weeks, I'll say, that, you know, Honolulu Police Department, one of the cops, which is a friend of ours, came by and says, hey, we have nothing for the police force. And actually, this was even prior because we ordered it and it came in about, you know, 6 weeks ago. But they reached out to us if we could get some, because they were buying, he bought a P100 Bodyman's mask. He said, you know, hey, I'll get some N95s. I mean, we had a little bit of supplies. And then my boss says, hey, look, as a first responder, we can actually put in a request through 3M. And so that's what he did. And so he was able to basically get them like 5,000 N95s. And then from there, we've just been cut off. We haven't had anything come in.
And I think that what we should also point out is that when you are doing this kind of work as a supplier, you're kind of pressured by companies to go to a single line. So 3M, you know, they will, I don't know if they pressure you, but it's kind of expected that you sell 3M and not other brands of masks. Is that true?
There's not that pressure, but the thing is, like I was saying, is we've been solely on them. And the thing is part of doing respirators and having a respirator program established in the shop is that we do the fit testing. We make sure that the guys go out, get their medical clearance first. Once we know that they can actually wear a respirator and have the lung capacity and stuff and been cleared by their doctors or physicians, Then we come in and we do a fit test, you know, to make sure the mask fits their face properly. And then if there's any health conditions that have changed throughout that time period, we actually ask them to either get a new eval from the medical, or we actually, you know, change out the mask or do something else so that it fits them properly. But the thing is if I go to another line, I got to go through all of my shops and I'm going to have to recertify everybody with fit testing. And I mean, we do it once a year because it's an annual thing. And the thing is, you know, we've gotten to bed with 3M. We've had a good relations with my current rep that just left. And, you know, he was real supportive and stuff. But now the thing is it's just like, you know, we're ghosted. And everybody is. You know, I've been reaching out to others and I keep hearing that, hey, you know, we're in the same boat as you. You know, my body shop thinking that, you know, we're BSing them because we don't have this stuff. And he says, you know, and then he got a response actually from 3M saying that, you know, late August or so, we'll get you back, August, September. And then, you know, other things that, you know, I've acquired is getting information is some people said that, you know what, they were going to do that. Now they're switching the gears because the pandemic's getting worse. And so because of that, you know, how long is that going to put us out?
Right. So. And I think in the beginning of the pandemic, it was understandable because I know one of the problems that we've run into is that 3M had switched over at one time all of their manufacturing strictly to medical PPE. Mm-hmm. Which I think at the time was understandable. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, we took that and, it was kind of like everybody pull together and do what you need to do. But, you know, there does come a time where, I mean, guys in your shop must be way overusing their, or in your shops must be way overusing their masks if they're unable to get replacements, they're unable to get new ones. Posing a massive health risk to them.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, you know, the other day, you know, I posted up on Instagram that a guy messaged me because it's not just us, you know, he's reached out to my competitors too, you know. He said Sherwin Williams, Napa, the other, you know, big player here didn't have any. They said they're all on back order. So the thing is this guy's told me, he literally told me that I'm stuffing paper towels into where the filter is so that it can help kind of stop the paint fumes from coming through. And I was like, dude, you know what? Let me see what we can do. You know, I had a limited supply on hand. I told him, hey, come in. I can get you another respirator. And he just had to buy the whole thing. I didn't have filter cartridges to sell them. So, you know, and that's the problem, right? People are going without in regards to that they can't get availability. And it's just not in collision too. You got to understand that, you know, there's industrial, right? And that's all over the place. We have everything from shipyards to marine. We have aerospace. We have guys, you know, a lot of plane painters guys. There's they actually fly the guys out around the world, but they do a lot of complete paint jobs here on airplanes and jets. And then there's also guys in fiberglass. They build surfboards. There's all the other stuff, like I was saying, in Marines, there's kayaks, there's so many people across the board that are relying on it, even welders, right? The other thing I want to do is contact Airgas and say, hey, do you guys got anything so I can refer people to you guys? And that's what I'm going to do probably Monday and see if they have it.
That's a really good idea. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, and it's getting crazy. And, you know, and like I posted on my storyboard, I was watching the national evening news and it shows Texas and this lady saying, yeah, we are stockpiling 3.2 million masks, you know, and if we look and they were saying, I thought it was either Austin or Houston, Texas. Now, if that's just that area, how many other states are doing that? And then, you know, and you times that by how much more? The thing is, yeah, that's just depleting it all the way around.
And it's also worth pointing out that carbon filter masks, the charcoal masks that we use, do not protect against viruses any better than cloth masks, because it's really, it doesn't stop the virus. It will only protect against water droplets and droplets of liquid from leaving your mouth and nose. It doesn't actually protect against the virus anyway, so they're stockpiling these masks that don't even do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is
Yeah.
And it, and honestly, to me, that falls on 3M because they shouldn't be selling them to these people. You know, 3M, you know, you and me have had talked a little bit about this, but these companies, there's like how many companies manufacture masks? 5, 6? I mean, these are massive companies that have over the course of, you know, decades squeezed the competition out. They're, it's not that, you know, it's not that people don't want to make masks or whatever. It's that over time, 3M and companies like them have been able to squeeze out all the other competition so that there's 5 or 6 companies that make these masks that are OSHA certified, that are able to be used in these conditions. And they have purposely squeezed out this competition. But when you do that, if you go through that process of destroying your competition, then you have the responsibility of keeping up that flow. And you took that upon yourself. It's not fair of you to just all of a sudden switch gears.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, and it has to be NOSH approved, right? There's a certification that, you know, through that. And you are correct. And the thing is that we're finding that the only thing that's available is a medical grade, which, you know, is 3 times higher. I mean, there was a girl in Texas that messaged me saying, hey, I don't have any P100s and I don't have any vapor cartridges. I went on Amazon and I found them and I saw that Amazon was selling them double the cost of what we sell, the same cartridge. And I told her, I says, you know what? I don't have another option, but here's something you can get right away and, you know, you can have it delivered to your doorstep. And that's the big thing is creating a revenue source for, or not a revenue, but basically a source for them to get the PPE that they need. Because I'm afraid it's drying up. And,
yeah,
you
that's
know.
My concern is that, you know, right now we're still kind of clamoring over what's left, but eventually there's just going to be nothing left. And cars are still going to get in accidents. And, you know, stuff still needs to get painted in. All of these, you know, this is not a small industry. Automobiles is not a small industry, and we need to be able to do these things safe and effectively. And without putting ourselves in danger. Because there's also the isocyanate poisoning, which is accumulative. So it builds up over time. And once you hit that mark, you're
sensitized.
You're desensitized. You're at a very serious risk for your health. And even once you come down, I mean, my understanding of isocyanate poisoning is once you get it, that's the end of your career because you cannot risk. Because it's now easier for you to get it every time. Is that right?
Yeah, it's basically your body starts filling up with toxins from that. And then the thing is you reach a plateau where basically your body can't take anymore. And then it starts rejecting. You get sick. You have, you know, a lot of nervous problems. I got one guy that a painter out here that wears a respirator 24/7. All he does is prep. But he says if he walks into basically the building unprotected, he starts getting nauseous. And yeah, again, the thing is like I tell everybody, I says, yeah, a majority of my shops are on fresh air. But the thing is you got to look at guys that are in detail. OSHA has said that because of the silica, you have to wear a respirator. And the body techs, they're burning, they're welding, they're doing body filler, they're sanding. They need respirators too. And then you got the preppers that are priming. You know, technically they're supposed to be in a booth, but 9 out of 10 times, that doesn't happen. And the thing is the isocyanates in primer versus clear are way more higher. So you have a 45% in the hardener in your primer, and you usually have around a 15 to 20% in your clears. So you can see the primer is actually more lethal in that chemical than it is in the hardener of the clear.
Also, too, on that note, is when you're spraying primer, there's generally more overspray. There's more material coming out because it's so thick. So you're getting, not only is there more in it, there's more material being sprayed.
And you don't have an extraction unit that's sucking it out unless you're on a prep deck or something. And like I said, a lot of guys spray out on an open floor, and what happens? It lingers through the shop. It floats through. Body men breathe it. You know, it's an invisible killer. That's what I tell everybody. And you won't know. It's like this. If you ate a hamburger and you died of a heart attack because of the cholesterol and everything right there on the spot, you wouldn't eat a hamburger. But this is a prolonged thing that happens over a long period of time. And that's the thing is that all of a sudden you get so much saturation and you just can't be around it.
And it's not, you can't just not be around it. You can never be around it again. It's like a forever thing, isn't it?
And
we're already facing a shortage of cats.
Yeah.
So you're talking about people putting themselves more at risk. You know, fewer and fewer techs, people getting sick, and this will literally, if you get this, anybody listening, if you get isocyanate poisoning, that is pretty much the end of your career as a body man. You will now have to find a new career that doesn't involve, you know, the thing that you probably have been doing for the last 20 or 30 years of your life, and you plan to carry you into retirement.
Totally. I agree with you. I mean, so, the only thing you can do is just wear a fresh air unit for the rest of your life and not have any exposure. And that's far from few. I mean, you're going to be in and around anything, just walking into a mixing room. You know, you can start smelling that stuff. I know one guy that he would just start hacking it. It's like, what's wrong? He goes, oh, because I sprayed for so long, I can't even go by the mixing room. So
yeah,
I was like, wow.
It's definitely, I mean, this is not a joke. We aren't, these chemicals are dangerous. You know, we kind of are desensitized a little bit to the fact that, you know, these things are kind of commonplace for us. We deal with them all the time, but these are not safe things. And there's, you know, a lot of times there may be, at least in the past, I think things are changing a lot more now, but I mean, it used to be that, you know, nobody really cared about their PPE. Now people are finally understanding. And now we're really understanding, and now this stuff like this is happening.
No, it's not available, right? Yeah,
exactly. I mean, there's plenty of people who, you know, survived for a long time doing it, but, I mean, if you look back, it's early deaths, and nothing good ever came from people inhaling a lot of pink, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's another thing is also, you know, the guys currently have the gear, but like I said, I come in and I do my annual fit testing, and I'll come in and one of the guys' little check valve inside the mask, it's missing. So he's actually it's not even working properly. There's a big thing of knowing how to positive test and negative test the mask, but, you know, pressurize it, you know, and do all the stuff so it properly fits your face. And that's what guys need to be doing every day. And a lot of guys don't. And the thing is, you know, you have these leaky masks and, you know, now you compound that, you know, now you got a poor filtration because you can't change out, you know, as well as, you know, you got broken parts. I mean, a lot of times we bring in the head straps because the elastic part, you know, starts losing the elasticity. So then it just, you know, the guy keeps wrenching it on his face and it keeps falling down and then it cracks and he's breathing in, you know, through the cracks. So, I mean,
and then those straps dry out and they don't snap back. They, you know, because of the chemicals in the paint that you're spraying, they lose, like you said, they lose their elasticity. And again, it's accumulative. So that small little leak in your mask doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you keep doing it, you can't get a new one. This keeps building up. I mean, that poor guy who was stuffing his pre-filters with paper towels.
Paper towels, yeah.
That's just horrific. It's disgusting, frankly, what that 3M is just completely dodging you like this and not even giving you the courtesy of telling you what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to hear that somebody got a letter from them and it outlined. And then the thing is I heard somebody, you know, gave me some privileged information basically saying that, you know, yeah, I found out that they were going to go back to normal and start producing back for the, you know, the industrial and the collision side. But the thing is, since the pandemic in the last week has ramped up, they went back to square one of just fulfilling the medical side. You know, and I just also want to talk about, you know, options. So the thing is like my buddy in California is telling me, he's like, look, I'm getting parts. I'm, you know, I got a bunch of cartridges. So the thing is I'm getting the masks themselves, just the mask itself, the half mask that fits the face. And then the thing is I'm getting straps and, you know, I'm piecemealing respirators together to keep them going so that I can supply my customers. So just keep in mind that, you know what, guys, you got to really look at other ways or other avenues, start tapping into your jobber, making sure he's looking at your best interest too, of like, hey, can you guys get this stuff, or do I need to look outside of the box? Other manufacturers is like SAS, Gerson, somebody told me, is also has masks out there. You know, and I tell everybody, you know, on Instagram or wherever you're going, put it on social media. I mean, I got a huge response. I got a huge response of people that don't have it. And I got a huge response of people that say, hey, it's in my area. If you need something, let me know. I can get you it. And that's a huge network that we need to tap into right now.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if there's people who are, you know, or areas that are not having any issues, that could definitely be a big help to some of the areas that are having issues. Or at least save people time where, so that they know where they are, so they can go and get them, and they're not searching. They don't have to spend a lot of time searching for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, I don't know, are there other like foreign companies that make masks that we could be looking at?
Well, I know a lot of the stuff is produced overseas. So, you know, it's just, you know, the different manufacturers, wherever they're being, you know, made from. And I know a lot of the stuff is just outsourced, but, you know, and I hate to say this, but my dentist told me the other day when I was in there, and she says, you know, I was able to get some medical grade stuff of N95s, but she heard through the pipeline that basically the government is checking shipping manifests that are coming into the ports of entry, like your harbors and stuff on the East Coast, West Coast. And they're looking over the shipping manifests. And if there's PBE or respirators or certain stuff, that they're actually seizing the containers. And from there, I'm not sure what they're doing with it, if they're stockpiling anywhere else, because, you know, we've got to look at, there's a federal government, there's state and local government. And the federal government has had the stockpile, right, that they've helped distribute down. Like we had, what was it, for all the hospitals, they had the, I got a blank on it, the breathing units that the people needed for all of the ICU units.
The intubation stuff?
The, oh, man, I can't believe I draw on a blank on it.
Are they called respirators?
Yeah, respirators. Yeah. No. Sorry. Anyways.
Talk about the things that breathe for you when you're under.
I can't believe I'm just at a blank on it. You know, I think I'm stuck on the respirator.
You blank on it. Now I can't.
I want to say nebulizers, but they're not. They're, they're, you know, basically they help you breathe. So the thing is that, you know, the government was saying that they went to GM and they went to other manufacturers saying, you need to stop your plant and you need to start producing this. So the thing is they got that ramped up so that they can build back their stockpile and be able to have enough on hand to distribute out down into the states. So, you know, the thing is, if we're seeing on the news that, you know, people are stockpiling, the thing is, you know, when is somebody going to stockpile for the industrial side for us? I mean, we were the essential workers that worked through the pandemic, and now we're the ones that are suffering from the pandemic too, in a different way.
Right. I mean, you know, and again, I think in the beginning it was we could understand that, like, you know, we all had to come together. We all had to take kind of dig deep and all work together to get through this. But at the same time, you know, you can't expect people to work in unsafe conditions. Not only can you not expect them to, but legally, you know, people can't. I don't know, how many hours are on a mask? How many hours are supposed to be on a mask? It's not even 200, is it?
No, it's not even that. Well, they threw a rough ball figure. It used to be is like 40 hours on a charcoal mask. But the thing is you actually need to put a probe on you. And it actually takes air readings for a period of time, and then you send that in, and then they check the parts per million of the exposed chemicals and other stuff that it registers. And then from there, they build in a timeline of when you should have a changeout. So then you have a changeout system that you put in place. Basically, you write a date on the filter. And then, let's say, depending on your exposure, let's say you get 22 hours. Because if the guy's in the booth spraying all the time and it's just breathing and he's in front of a lot of harsh chemicals, that thing cuts that life down short. And the thing is, if the guy leaves the respirator sitting out, that even shortens the life of the mask, too. It needs to be sealed up. It needs to be kept away. The big thing too is like with the pre-filters is that you're actually supposed to disconnect that, put it in a separate bag and keep the carbon in another bag. So those are two are separated because the pre-filter has all the chemicals on it. And
right.
If that's inside the bag, it's actually circulating the chemical and shortening the life of it.
It leaches into the filter, the carbon filter.
Yeah. It just circulates. It's kind of like putting in a room and it's constantly just breathing its own self, breathing the chemicals back in. So then the thing is it shortens the life.
Just real quick, ventilated is the word we were looking for.
Ventilator, yes, that is. Yeah. I'm hoping not, but if we keep going this way, there'll be a lot of painters on those, you know, in the next 10, 15 years.
In your opinion, what can people do here? What should we be trying to do?
Okay, so from here, I would say, you know, if you have the capability and the capacity, start looking into a fresh air system. SADA has good stuff. I hate to say it. 3M has good stuff. DeVilbiss, Tsunami, which is another off-brand. It's a three-stage system. You're going to have basically a first stage. You're going to have a really fine micron as the second stage, and then you're going to have a carbon filter. SADA has the belt with the carbon on it. I'm not sure who else has a belt with carbon on it, but with theirs, you can just have a two filter on the wall, two stage, and then you have the carbon on yourself, or they put a three stage up. And the thing is like I said, if you have the air, and you have good quality air, because if you have an old compressor that's discharging a lot of oil, you're going to be doing a lot more maintenance, as well as you're going to be exposing your painter to a lot more other chemicals. And it's basically carbon dioxide. That's what an old receptacle will put out, as well as, you know, the rotaries are pretty efficient as long as they're not having problems. And the thing is there's actually, you put a CO2 monitor that's either you can have, SADA has one that's in line with the air, so that if it detects it, certain parts per million of CO2, it sets off the alarm. And I just want to tell the guys that have those units, you need to have them calibrated every year, as well as there's one that can go inside your hood and it can breathe the air and register what's going on. And then tell you too if you're getting those CO2 gases, because that's basically. I had one guy go, "Man, I'm just really tired," and we're like, "Why?" And he's like, "Man, I guess we're always still tired." And we found out he was getting exposed to it. His belt wasn't working right, and he wasn't changing it out, so he was actually breathing carbon dioxide. He was poisoning himself.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
For people who can't afford or are unable to, for whatever reason, change to a fresh air system. Or even if you can, I do think that it's important that we hold 3M responsible here. And I think I would like to encourage everybody to reach out to 3M. It sounds like everybody has attempted to contact them in private. Maybe if we do so a little bit more publicly, then we will get a better response. I would encourage everybody to post about, you know, your inability to get asked. Or your fear or your concern about it, or just your concern for Todd and our friends in Hawaii or anywhere else in the country who hasn't been able to get one. Post about it, tag 3M, tag Todd, and just send them emails. Just the more noise we make, the more likely we will be to get a response. That's just kind of how it is. But I would definitely, I don't think that for a lot of people it's going to be feasible to just, and a lot of industrial people just aren't able, going to be able to get, you know, people painting planes and submarines and boats are probably not going to be able to get a fresh air system, and they need protection too. So I think that, you know, I just encourage everybody to start making a stink about this, and let's see if we can get at least a response or a legitimate response, not one handed down, you know, through back channels and secret conversations. Let's see if we can get at least 3M to acknowledge the fact that they've kind of hung us out to dry.
No, I agree. And I, you know, the thing is right now, 3M knows it's a sore subject. And the thing is, if we say nothing, we don't have to respond to nothing. So the thing is like you said, you know, we need to be a beacon of light on this and start shining it brighter. Like I told Wayne over at Damage Undone, I says, you know, if it's just one, it's nothing. But if it's 10,000 fists in the air, hopefully, you know, we can, you know, pound a message out there. As well as I've heard that, you know, as I need to look and confirm, but basically 3M went ghost on their Instagram since, you know, the beginning part of June.
I want to say it was June 19th was their last post.
Okay. So, you know, that weighs something there. I mean, they were probably getting, you know, tagged up, beat up about stuff, saying stuff. As well as other jobbers that are out there listening tonight, yeah, you know, get an email out there, you know, talk to your 3M rep, you know, I mean, we need to apply pressure where pressure needs to be applied, and, you know, we're falling short on this matter, and it's not us that's suffering, it's the end user, it's the guy in the shop that doesn't have the proper PPE, you know, and the last thing I want to know is that, you know, I'm contributing to somebody's death. That's just the bottom line.
I also think it's worth saying to anyone, if this somehow gets into the halls of 3M, which I doubt, but if 3M, if you are listening, we don't, you know, this is not 100% your fault. You know, the pandemic did happen, and we understand that you're probably doing your best too, as we are, as everybody is. But the answer here isn't to not say anything and just leave everybody in the dark. The answer is to at the very least, come forward and say, you know, we're not going to be able to cover for you guys. You know, maybe, but here's maybe something we can do or help us come up with a solution, because we are all in this together. Like I was saying before, there's already a shortage of techs. If people start having to leave the industry because they get sick, it's going to affect your bottom line as much as it's going to affect the industry. So we will be able to do better if we work together. So yeah, that would be my message to 3M, is just that we're not blaming you. What we want is a solution. We don't want to accuse you of anything. We don't want to, you know, be mean or whatever. What we want is a solution to the problem.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, we need to have an open discussion on this. The thing is, you know, we have a business relationship with them. And the thing is, you know, for me to pass this kind of actions down to my customer, I would understand them, you know, switching right out from underneath me. The thing is, you know, I would hold them to that same standard that, you know what, we've got a bridge that we got to mend right now. And, you know, and again, I'm not here to beat them up either. I'm just here to get some answers so that I can pass those down to people that need the answers at my shops. And that's all.
I 100% agree. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Todd?
No, I think, you know, we've beat this dead horse pretty good tonight. I appreciate you reaching out to me, Nick. I appreciate your support that you're giving to the rest of everybody. You know, if there's one thing you've said is reach out, let's try and get some kind of movement on this so that we can, you know, bring this to get some closure or something, some kind of answers so that we know what we could be looking at. I mean, and I just hope that this doesn't ramp up worse. I know that, you know, there's a lot of first responders out there doing the best that they can. And I thank everybody for their cooperation in helping us all get through this.
I agree. And also I would like to add, if, you know, you are having a problem, you're having an issue, reach out to myself. You can reach out to Todd. There's others, Savage PPE. You know, reach out. Let's try and work on this together, because same thing as before, you know, we're going to be stronger. We're going to be better working together instead of separately.
Yeah. I agree.
Let's not get mad. Let's find a solution.
And they're going to see, more people are going to start bringing this up, because it's a hot topic. I've already talked to other people that are going to be doing podcasts and other stuff. So this is going to be circulating around for a little while. And, you know, I'm hoping that we get somewhere with it.
Well, I'm glad I got the scoop on it.
Yeah, no. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, I'm Todd. I'm at island_customs with a K underscore concepts with a C.
And I will also put that in the and I'll put it in the post that I make about this. And definitely, and so do I. Let's work together. So, yeah, I think that went well. Thank you very much, Todd, for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
And hopefully we get some kind of response from this soon.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to at least getting some answers. If not, I think other people are going to reach out to us.
I hope so. I hope that we can clear this up soon.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you all have a great night. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.